Jay Mariotti here, and as the coronavirus epidemic becomes a chilling constant of 2020 life, I have to ask this. Why is the sports industry in the United States in denial, all but covering up an outbreak that has afflicted more than 100,000 people worldwide, while increasing in severity within our borders? With multiple billions at stake in a ruthless bottom line driven business, these leagues and franchises are conducting business as usual until somebody literally locks the doors of the stadiums and the arenas. I am beyond appalled at the arrogance and insensitivity at hand, even as stock markets are staggering, universities and schools are closing classrooms, thousands are quarantined in New York, and California is in a state of emergency. Please think about this. If no large gathering is safe from a deadly virus, and if airports, convention centers, and other public places are eerily barren right now, while a festival as vital and profitable as South by Southwest is canceled, why does sports continue to invite large gatherings to potentially spread the virus? Where does sports get off playing doctor when the medical experts are urging fans to avoid games? And the one U.S. league that has pondered a plan B, the NBA, is being cut off by one of the world's most famous athletes, LeBron James, who says he will not play in games if the league doesn't allow fans in the arenas. Has LeBron gone mad?
Who what? We play games without the fans?
Yeah.
No, it's impossible. I ain't playing. If I ain't got the fans in the crowd, that's what I play for. I play for my teammates, I play for the fans. That's what it's all about. So if I show up to an arena and ain't no fans in there, I ain't playing. So they can do what they want to do.
Thanks,
all right,
everyone.
Appreciate it.
That's very selfish and ignorant of a man who vows to be a model citizen and parent. Does LeBron not realize he lives in California, an epicenter for the virus in America's most populous state? Is he that much of an egomaniac to think that he and these silly basketball games he plays are bigger than the coronavirus? And by the way, what would be so wrong with playing in empty buildings for a while if the virus is a matter of potential life or death? Fans still would watch on TVs and devices. Gamblers still would gamble during March Madness. The advertisements would still run. Sports could be played inside studios, so to speak. Except, here's the problem. The leagues and the teams would miss out on those whopping revenues and actually might have to issue refunds. Horror of horrors, refunds! And that very greed is driving this irrational mantra that the games must go on. I hope nobody catches the coronavirus inside an arena or stadium, and I don't know, dies or something.
Welcome to Unmuted with Jay Mariotti,
the podcast devoted to making sports talk great again.
Few have made more impact in sports media than Jay, and certainly no one has been called more names. Some actually true. He's the fiercely independent lightning rod who has produced massive ratings for ESPN's Around the Horn, made powerful waves as a national and major market talk host, and ruled Chicago as a columnist for 17 years. Unmuted is a topical whirlwind that doesn't stop until all the news is analyzed. So here he is, back from his day job in Hollywood. For the next half hour or so. Or maybe 40 minutes, depending on the Lakers, Raiders, Trump, and Odell Beckham Jr.'s latest mood swing. The one, the only, Jay Mariotti.
To be clear, I am neither a germaphobe nor an alarmist. Yet as I speak, sports events throughout planet Earth continue to be canceled, postponed, or played without spectators. And here in America, games proceed as scheduled in the NBA and NHL, in college arenas, at baseball spring training sites, and with UFC and boxing events, except for one Division III college basketball game canceled in Baltimore. Congratulations, Baltimore. Sorry, I don't trust these profit-driven leagues and franchises to be responsible and forthright with athletes and fans about the coronavirus. so far only spewing damage control with wishful thinking, don't worry, be happy agendas that protect their greedy self-interests. The NCAA, for instance, says it's, quote, very unlikely and not rational, unquote, to think that spectators would be barred from upcoming March Madness games. Not rational? What? Oh, I get it. Because the NCAA would lose out on all of those revenue streams coming from numerous arenas the next few weeks, including the Final Four in Atlanta, where the Mercedes-Benz Stadium seats 75,000 for basketball. Do the math, 150 grand, all that money coming in. That sounds like a fine way to spread the virus. 150,000 people, two events. Yeah. Come on in, watch basketball, spread the virus. The NHL took a lame stance, closing locker room access to the media and forcing those dirty, diseased scribes to interview players in news conference areas, which should be the norm anyway in sports. Why have we traditionally gone into locker rooms and clubhouses? I've said that forever. Excuse me here where I spray my armpits. I'm a dirty media person. The same goes for sports media companies, which gleefully cover these games with just a passing mention of the virus. Hell, it's business as usual with the Walt Disney Company, which keeps doors wide open at Disneyland and Disney World for all those kids and parents to spread the virus. I repeat, there is no vaccination for the virus, nor do we have much information about how it spreads, nor are there enough tests for the virus to beat back the epidemic, causing chaos at hospitals. Yet, the games go on to the point where the San Jose Sharks in the virus-shaken Bay Area completely ignored a county advisory by health officials to cancel a game, staging it anyway, though only 14,500 people showed up, 3,000 shy of arena capacity. The Golden State Warriors, usually progressive leaders in the sports field, ignored a similar advisory in San Francisco, where 21 people on a nearby cruise ship have tested positive for coronavirus. So didn't it give us pause when Steph Curry, who just returned from a broken hand the other night, missed Saturday night's home game with the flu? The Warriors doctors quickly announced that Curry had been diagnosed with seasonal flu and, quote, has no specific risk factors for COVID-19, unquote. Should we believe them? Here was Warriors coach Steve Kerr answering questions never asked before.
So he woke up this morning feeling sick. I know his son, his young son, was sick for a couple of days, so he probably got it from his son. But our doctors checked him out, and it is it's the basic flu.
Just asking, did Steph get tested for the coronavirus?
Yeah. Wow. So he's our doctors checked him out this morning, and he has the common strain of influenza virus. So he's got the flu.
Yes, and that's a flu test. I'm actually wondering if you know if he was tested for the coronavirus.
I believe so.
I took great exception when an unnamed NBA team medical official told ESPN, quote, an NBA player who contracts the coronavirus would expect to miss 2 weeks, end quote. As if this, what, a mere sprained ankle or something? Oh, you're out 2 weeks. Let me lay out some cold, hard truth here, okay? If an athlete in a major team sport contracted the coronavirus, he would be immediately quarantined. Teammates and other franchise personnel immediately would be tested, as would players from opposing teams, and then you'd have thousands of fans wondering if they contracted the virus inside a stadium or arena after watching a team with an infected player. And that quickly, sports shuts down. Got it? I don't dabble in panic, but these are dangerous and unpredictable times, and we are venturing into the unknown. And I am not going to let King Sports pretend as if it's in a protective bubble, immune from a virus that continues to take lives in the U.S. and worldwide. Safety and precaution must be prioritized over profits. And as I've been saying on this podcast for a couple of weeks, if games, events, and even the entirety of seasons must be postponed or canceled in the major sports leagues, then so be it. Here in Los Angeles, amid a health emergency, officials have asked residents to be prepared for school closings and event cancellations. They've also urged people to maintain a distance of 6 feet from strangers, to not touch our faces, and to not greet each other with hugs and handshakes, but with verbal salutations. Yet, the games went on at Staples Center, including those all-important Lakers showdowns with the Bucks and the Clippers, with 20,000 fans sitting within inches of each other, and then sweaty players slapping skin, as always, on the court. They're trying to avoid it, but they're emotional. They're trying to win games. They're not going to just suddenly stop doing that on the court. And they still staged the LA Marathon with 27,000 runners from all 50 states and more than 78 countries in a pack. They're running and sweating, spreading the virus. See the dangerous disconnect here? It's a parallel universe that needs to stop. But if you expect city and county officials to ban spectators from events, it would take, quote, an extreme situation, unquote, in LA to ban spectators from attending sports events. That, according to the county health director. Isn't a health emergency an extreme situation? I don't understand this. We can't be within 6 feet of others, yet it's okay to pack these arenas and sit a couple of inches away from each other. Would you explain this to me? It's called almighty sports pressuring politicians. It's disgusting. In Italy, all sports events have been closed to fans for a month, and a dozen key soccer matches have been postponed. And soccer leagues in Japan and South Korea, along with China, have delayed the start of their regular seasons. Then we have the upcoming Summer Olympics in Tokyo, where right now baseball games are being played in empty ballparks in virus-ravaged Asia. It stuns me when the International Olympic Committee president and the CEO of Comcast, NBC Universal, both say within a matter of hours that it's, quote, full steam ahead, unquote, for the games starting in July. A global athletic festival is a horrendous idea amid an epidemic, if not a pandemic, with more than 11,000 athletes expected from 70-plus countries, many of which have been hit hard by the virus. Add more than 600,000 tourists, although if I'm a tourist with a ticket, I'm not going anywhere near there, and Japanese citizens attending the games, and yes, this is a virus-spreading disaster waiting to happen. Yet, IOC honcho Thomas Bach, blinded by his commitment to corporations and broadcast companies and the accompanying almighty revenues, is not fazed a bit. Apparently, Bach would rather put lives at risk.
I can tell you that today in the meeting of the executive board, neither the word cancellation nor the word postponement was even mentioned. Organizing committee gave a very impressive report about the progress being made. Of course, there was also a very comprehensive presentation on how the organizing committee is addressing the challenge of the coronavirus. As a conclusion, we can say that the OCOC is absolutely in line with the IOC executive board, as expressed in the statement of the executive board yesterday. Also the OCOC has today renewed and reinforced its full commitment to successful Olympic Games Tokyo 2020. The stage is set. All competition venues are complete. 4.5 million Olympic tickets have been sold domestically in Japan.
Notice Bach's emphasis on the 4.5 million tickets sold there. Look, I'm not asking for draconian measures here. I'm asking for common sense and human courtesy and decency in the short term. The Tokyo Games should be postponed at least until later this year, as the IOC contract allows. And if NBC doesn't like it because a primetime Olympics would clash with Al and Chris and NFL primetime games, well, so be it. In the end, we each have to make our own decisions about coronavirus. But if we're supposed to keep a healthy distance from each other and we're supposed to, you know, soap up our hands every 5 minutes, tell me, where is the logic in attending a sports event? All I know is I'm glad I lived in the time frame when I lived on this earth. I could not imagine being 15 and facing a world that has spiraled completely off its axis. Of course, LeBron James would have surrounded Staples Center with army tanks before allowing anybody to call off his biggest two games as a Laker. This is why he came to Los Angeles, to reestablish his dominance at age 35 and to reposition a fabled franchise as a title contender. And while the postseason is still weeks away, James obviously is driven now to add another championship chapter to his magnificent legacy. How fitting that teammate Kyle Kuzma fitted LeBron with an imaginary crown after his weekend perfecta, because LeBron has returned as basketball's indomitable bully and announced that he is not relinquishing his throne easily. First, crushing the league-leading Milwaukee Bucks with such fury that the NBA's defending MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, limped out of town with a knee sprain that will keep him out a while and could even hamper him in the playoffs. Then, as some were anointing LA's upstart team, the Clippers, as the NBA's best, LeBron wrestled away that MVP lead from Giannis with some of these epic images on Sunday. Ready? Bursting past reigning finals MVP Kawhi Leonard for buckets, doing the same damage to Paul George's ego, hitting the floor to grab loose balls, finding open teammates, as he has all season, maximizing the likes of Avery Bradley and other members of his supporting cast, hunting the defensively challenged Lou Williams on the pick and roll, hitting a step back three, soaring for a block, doing robust defensive work on Leonard after suppressing Giannis, taking charges in the paint, getting to the free throw line routinely, ignoring Patrick Beverley's attempts to taunt him, and then in the final minute, driving for the layup and drawing a foul. That after finding Anthony Davis with a bounce pass. You got all that? As the majority of fans inside Staples stood and roared and chanted, MVP, MVP. And this was a Clippers home game, remember? And more on that bit of LA sociology shortly. James stood there by the baseline and screamed for the whole damned world to hear. He does think he's bigger than a global virus. And while we'd be fools to say the Lakers are favorites now in what will be a wild NBA postseason, they are looking the part more than the Clippers right now, and certainly the Bucks. LeBron tried to downplay the meaning of the weekend, but when he was questioned about the new James narrative, he's better than ever. He did bite somewhat.
I don't know. That's for you guys to talk about. For me, I prepare myself, both for my body, my mind, and to endure anything, even at this stage in my career. I know what it takes for me to be prepared mentally and physically to go out and perform at a high level, and it's my responsibility to put this team in a position to be successful. You know, and they look at me as a leader, and it's my job to not only on the floor get guys opportunities, get them great looks, but inspire them as well, and show them that I'm not slowing down even at this stage of my career. So it's just a blessing. It's a blessing to still be doing what I'm doing at this juncture in my career.
Last question, Doc said that you're pretty much the only player that he's ever seen that keeps getting better every year. Do you agree with that? Do you think that you're better now than you ever were?
I've said it a couple times. I feel like, right now I'm just playing some really good basketball. Last year, obviously, started off really well, but, you know, the injury, you know, hurt me a lot physically and mentally as well, having an injury like that. So, just
I put a lot of work into my game this offseason. I put a lot of work into my rehabbing, you know, with my groin. I'm getting back to full strength. Even when I was shooting the movie, if you follow me on social media, I was in the weight room at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, making sure that I was preparing myself for this season, no matter what was going on, just keeping the main thing. And that's how I take care of my body, how I take care of my game, how I can take care of my mind. So I want to try to continue to get better. You know, even if it's physically, if I lose a step here, but, you know, when your mind is sharp and you have a huge, you know, a big basketball IQ, you can always cover for those things.
Better than ever. I think that's too simplistic. Let's just say he's more nuanced than ever. Coming in, the conventional wisdom said the Clippers were the more physical, gritty team. After all, they bark all about that on numerous billboards around L.A., but the Lakers dictated this game, willing to get chippy and scrappy and putting pressure on the Clippers to defend while slowing the pace. This collision did not disappoint. You had a playoff atmosphere in early March with defense the watchword and players constantly complaining about calls. And we only can hope the Lakers and Clippers do meet in the Western Conference Finals. Not that this is going to be a battle for LA. Can we shut down that battle for LA thing? A clash for cultural supremacy, this is not, as evidenced by the partisan Laker crowd for that Clipper home game. The Laker fans swooping in and buying the tickets, which are cheaper than they are for Lakers home games. Allow me to explain all of this. The Lakers might have 50 times more fans than the Clippers, 100 times, maybe 1,000 times, or let's say 24,000 times, a nod to the late Kobe Bryant. Yes, they are known as the Los Angeles Clippers, but except for small pockets in this vast metropolis, a little bit of Billy Crystal here and there, the Clippers are the enemies and the castoffs around here. This is Lakerland, the home of banners and legends. And in a season made more consequential by the sudden death of Bryant, the Clippers are viewed as an annoyance in their home city. Has this ever happened in sports history? Should Steve Ballmer move them to Seattle? Let me continue. You know why this is happening? Because the Clippers, who are really good now, would be getting in the way of an all-time story. LeBron and Davis winning for Kobe. LeBron winning his fourth title for a third franchise. Nobody except for Billy Crystal wants to see the Clippers getting in the way of that. Try as the owner Ballmer does to win a championship, having brought in Leonard and George and what certainly is one of the league's best three teams, a Clippers title would be a bummer around here. Would LA even throw the Clippers a parade? It will take a new arena in Inglewood to have any chance of escaping the Lakers' mesmerizing hold in Southern California. And even at that, the Clippers will have to win a few championships and remain contenders throughout an entire generation, or maybe two, before they can even hope to carve a firm LA identity beside the Lakers. For now, the billboard campaign that attacked the Lakers' glitz and glamour really does look embarrassing. LA, our way. Snarl over style. Streetlights over spotlights. And this one, we over me. Yeah. The last one is a shot at LeBron, who has been anything but selfish this season, leading the league in assists, ceding to Davis, and incorporating the likes of Kuzma and Bradley into the bigger mix. In the end, in this mash of star power and bad blood, the biggest street fighter of all was not in a Clippers uniform. His name was LeBron James in purple and gold on another bull rush toward the NBA Finals. And he knows, as a student of sports and media, that a championship under these circumstances after Bryant's death would elevate him to new heights in history. As for Giannis, his health becomes a concern for the Bucks, who were disappointing after they had beaten the Lakers in Milwaukee. They did not take advantage of Davis's early foul trouble and allowed LeBron to dominate that game. Critics who say Antetokounmpo doesn't have a championship supporting cast, or that he doesn't maximize that cast in big moments, are howling even louder today Eric Bledsoe did not show up. Chris Middleton didn't play like a strong number two. And other than Dante DiVincenzo and spurts of Brooke Lopez, the Bucks also were no match for the Lakers' physicality, which is saying something considering the Bucks have been dominant defensively, especially in the restricted area. Here was Giannis before his MRI in praise of LeBron.
Like, you can feel whenever you break the ball down, whenever you go against him, you can feel greatness. You know, obviously I've said in the past, that's where I want to be. Obviously he's one of the best, as I said, one of the best players in the game. Really, really smart. You cannot be BSing against him. He's going to come at you, and you got to be ready to go. You got to be ready to fight against him. And no, I think we were ready to fight. I think Wes did a good job. But at the end of the day, you know, he's going to get his shots up. He's going to get his teammates involved. So he's LeBron James, what can I say?
Didn't Kevin Durant say just last summer that he signed with the Brooklyn Nets in part because he loves the coach, Kenny Atkinson? Well, praise is fleeting in the NBA because Atkinson is out, and Durant's business partner, Rich Kleiman, reportedly wants his childhood hero in New York, Mark Jackson, to coach the Nets. Though Durant is out for the season as his Achilles mends, and Kyrie Irving has played only 20 games with his own injuries and indifference issues, the Nets fired Atkinson, though they are positioned for a playoff berth, and he once again has maximized the talent on hand, including the prolific scorer Caris LeVert. My instincts are telling me the killer Kyrie is behind this move, as he threw tantrums earlier this season and made some startling statements about the teammates he liked and didn't like. General manager Sean Marks said he's disappointed, quote, in the progress of the season, end quote, and he intimated that Atkinson's voice has run its course in the locker room. That is NBA code for internal politics doing in the coach, and that is obscenely unfair to Atkinson, who has been replaced by assistant Jacques Vaughn until the Nets are bounced out of the playoffs in the first round. Is Brooklyn a good job? I don't know. Would you want to deal with the moods of Irving and Durant, who might end up at each other's throats before it's over, while facing those intense expectations? Mark Jackson has it easy at ESPN. Why would he want that mess in Brooklyn? And Mark Cuban is back in the NBA doghouse, fined a whopping $500,000 for confronting officials on the court and then ripping them on Twitter. Cuban has a short memory. Commissioner Adam Silver did not issue a long suspension for the Mavericks owner after the team's ugly in-house sexual harassment scandal, and the league's explanation for this fine reflected the topic of abuse, saying in a statement, quote, "It is a recognized part of sports for fans and the media at times to criticize officiating, but team executives must be held to a higher standard. A team owner's effort to influence refereeing decisions during and after a game creates the perception of an unfair competitive advantage and thereby undermines the integrity of the game." This is harsh stuff. "Demeaning league employees also creates an intimidating workplace environment." Hoo-hoo, that hits home. "With an increased focus on respectful conduct by coaches, players, and fans during games, the actions of team executives should set an example," unquote. I think Adam Silver wrote that. That sounded like a lawyer. He is a lawyer by trade, and he is hitting Cuban right there. He's reminding him, without saying it verbatim, "Look, dude, we let you off the hook for a sexual harassment scandal, and look what you're doing. You're harassing the officials." Good for Adam Silver. Cuban now has been fined more than $3 million for ripping NBA officials and management. He is 61 years old now. Time to grow up, frat boy. Speaking of growing up, Draymond Green remains grounded in adolescence. His feelings were hurt by Charles Barkley, who has been poking fun at Draymond's declining offensive numbers, referring to his diminished stat lines as triple singles. Love that. Poor baby, Dre. He can dish it out, but he can't take it. Boo-hoo.
Barkley should stop before I go take his job, though. So I can do that well, too. He already didn't make enough money playing, so he need that job. He should stop talking to me. I like to, you know, tendency to end people. So he should stop before I take his job.
Not soon, though.
If he keep talking, then I'll take it soon. Sooner than he thinks. So yeah, he probably should be quiet. He also can't talk basketball to me either. Not smart enough, not qualified. No rings, can't sit at this table.
Don't be so sure if Green ever could replace Barkley on TV. Draymond is much too thin-skinned. Barkley isn't thin-skinned. They rip him apart and he giggles and he collects his paychecks. And when Tim Duncan filled in for Greg Popovich as acting coach of the Spurs last week, it seemed to send another message. Becky Hammon, another Spurs assistant, will not be making history as the first female head coach of a major sports franchise. But from what I hear, Duncan won't be getting the job either. Bill Self is about to flee the burning building in Kansas and take the job. Is Becky Hammon more qualified than Bill Self? Becky Hammon is a more ethical person than Bill Self. Bill Self is a better basketball coach than Becky Hammon. And baseball continues to careen out of control, so dominated by cheating that we are reminded that hitters are not the only ones breaking the rules. The Angels, ready for this, fired the visiting clubhouse manager for providing opposing pitchers with ball doctoring substances, an indication of how prevalent cheating has been on all sides of this absurdly corrupt sport. According to the LA Times, it was common knowledge around the majors, and that would include a commissioner who, of course, played it deaf and dumb during all this, that one Brian Bubba Hawkins, so respected in the sport that he was named visiting clubhouse manager of the year in 2005, sold a substance called go-go juice to enemy pitchers. And the Angels knew about it, and MLB knew about it, and yet nobody did anything about it. Why? Well, the Angels surely were using substances as well, so they couldn't rat out the opponents. They couldn't rat out Bubba. But if I were the owner of the Angels, I would be pissed off beyond belief that the guy I'm paying down there to run the visiting clubhouse is selling go-go juice to enemy pitchers to get my batters out. What the hell is going on around here? Well, they didn't know that Tyler Skaggs was abusing drugs and died last year. And again, I don't see enough criticism of this team in L.A. I don't see enough criticism of baseball, period. My God, the magnitude of deceit throughout sports. Everybody is cheating. This has been a theme in sports throughout the 21st century, from the Astros and Red Sox to the Patriots to Lance Armstrong to college basketball to the Olympic Games to even the Paralympics. Yes, they had a cheating scandal. The anger remains palpable among players and fans who think the Astros were not sufficiently punished for their role in the sign-stealing scandal. And that anger will not subside when the Red Sox, still under MLB investigation, receive what is expected to be only light punishment, reportedly because their 2018 scheme wasn't as systemic or widespread as the Astros. Something doesn't jibe there. Why would Alex Cora, one of the Houston masterminds, suddenly pull back on a cheating scheme when he became manager of the Red Sox the following season? Wouldn't a 2017 title in Houston beget a 2018 title in Boston? I smell some institutional favoritism. Boston owners John Henry and Tom Werner are protected in the MLB sphere, whereas Houston owner Jim Crane always was an outsider with baggage in his private businesses. A day doesn't pass without a player taking a shot at the Astros, such as the Cubs' Anthony Rizzo, who referred to the trash can bagging scheme when he was mic'd up during an ESPN telecast.
I'm doing some math in my head what he's going to throw.
What do you got?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. Someone bang for me.
Then Yankees pitcher Zach Britton took a shot at the Red Sox.
kind of your repertoire on a day like today? Are you trying to throw 80-90% fastballs, trying to mix in a few breaking balls?
Well, you guys got the Red Sox on this broadcast. They know what's coming. Are you you feeding them anything?
No, we got a garbage can up here. We're going to knock around for you.
Then pitcher Colin McHugh, who joins the sign-stealing Red Sox from the sign-stealing Astros, said the Astros cheated because the organization believed everybody else in baseball was cheating, which was the case, of course. But that won't be uncovered because MLB, as I say every single podcast, refuses to look under every rock, frightened about what it might find under those rocks. Here was McHugh turning on his former mates.
I think probably the most disappointing thing is how is that probably what we've said to fans throughout this process, and I think it's setting the wrong example, because I've learned and I know that in order to be a good baseball player, and I don't mean a talented baseball player because there's a lot of talented baseball players, but a good baseball player and somebody that I would want to look up to as a kid, or to be a good husband or a good father or just a good adult in this world, you've got to be brave, and you got to be willing to stick up for what you believe in and what you believe is right and what you believe is wrong. And I think a lot of the guys on that team are, including myself, are looking back now and wishing we had been as brave in the moment as we thought we were beforehand.
It blows my mind that such piling on continues in baseball when more claims are surfacing that many teams, including the Dodgers and the Yankees, both of whom have ripped the Astros early and often this spring, also were cheating. Former Giants manager Bruce Bochy, a solid baseball lifer known for high character, said he knew of, quote, other teams that were doing some things or trying to do some things, end quote. Baseball cannot regain trust among its dwindling number of fans if the so-called commissioner Rob Manfred is going easy on the Astros and Red Sox and ignoring claims that other teams were cheating. The commissioner is too busy trying to cover his own ass and protect the sport rather than doing his job, looking under every rock, as I said, for every speck of dirt. He doesn't want to know how deep the scandal goes, and that goes for the pitchers and illegal substances as well. Trevor Bauer, a notorious Manfred basher, told HBO's Real Sports that 70% of Major League pitchers are using those illegal substances on the ball. Then you have the Angels clubhouse guy being fired. Manfred's response to it all: he claims all cheaters will suffer the consequences, but seeing his lame investigations and dubious conclusions in the sign-stealing scandal, nobody takes him seriously. So let me get this straight. Batters are cheating with sign-stealing. Pitchers are cheating with illegal substances. The commissioner is cheating by juicing and de-juicing the baseballs. Oh, and some hitters and pitchers are still using steroids, I'm sure. And they want us to get excited about the upcoming baseball season? Manfred has yet to announce, by the way, how he will handle in-game technology. I would ban it completely, knowing that tech and the technocrats lurking in the dark, hello Jeff Lunau, are responsible for so many of the game's problems. But rather than use his unilateral powers as commissioner, Manfred is allowing the union to voice disapproval, preferring that players still have in-game use of a video room, which just invites more of the same cheating. I say lock down the video rooms, stay in the dugouts. If you got to take a piss, they have a urinal right there by the dugout. These are modern stadiums. Opening day is only, what, 2.5 weeks away? And a certain labor impasse is only a year away, though it didn't prevent the Brewers from signing Christian Yelich to a $215 million extension that is a bit low for the union's tastes. Mike Trout, remember, weighed in at $426.5 million with Mookie Betts coming up. And talk about theater of the absurd, Alex Rodriguez, the man who showed no remorse for two steroids suspensions, called out the Astros for showing no remorse. At least A-Rod finally acknowledged his own issues, but listen to the pause before he does so on his ESPN broadcast.
And I would just say this. I think the one thing that really has upset the fans is you cheat, you win a championship, there is no suspension, and then there's no remorse. And the last one, I think, is probably the worst one, because people want to see remorse. They want a real, authentic apology, and they have not received that thus far. And I can just tell you this, Natty, from a guy who has made, you know, as many mistakes as anybody on the biggest stage, I served the longest suspension in Major League Baseball history. You know, it cost me well over $35 million. And you know what? I deserved that. And as a result, I came back. I owned it after acting like a buffoon for a long time. I had my apologies, and then I went dark. And I wanted my next move to be contrite, but I also wanted to go out and play good baseball and change my narrative. And the way you change your narrative is you have to be accountable. You've earned all this negative talk. You've earned whatever comes your way, including whether it's hit by a pitch or negative press. You have divorced yourself from having the ability to protect yourself.
When Alex Rodriguez is the conscience of your sport, God help that sport. To the NFL, where owners are putting pressure on the players to accept a new collective bargaining agreement that includes a 17-game regular season, which, of course, represents a hypocritical health risk in a league that claims to prioritize player safety. If the players do vote no, the owners say they are prepared to demand an 18-game regular season, though that's probably a bargaining chip. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, a vocal opponent of the proposal in part because he wants to be paid an ample amount as a superstar for an extra game, took a shot at his own rank and file, suggesting not enough players in the league care about this CBA to read it over. Once again, the NFL is king. The owners are going to win this too. They beat Colin Kaepernick. They beat the critics about concussions. And they're going to do what now? Once this deal is done, and I say the players approve it this week, negotiations for new media contracts begin, with the league likely doubling its current monstrous broadcast revenues. This much is certain. The Patriots will make Tom Brady an offer. Question is, how much money, how much of it guaranteed, and how many skill position weapons will they sign to complement him? Until now, Brady has been okay with taking less money so Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick can sign the necessary pieces to win titles. But here's the new conundrum. Brady, in what will be his final NFL contract, wants the league's highest annual per year salary, more than the $35 million a season made by Russell Wilson. And if the Patriots do give it to him, they're not going to have as much for the other players, obviously. And without some new weapons, Brady will be as frustrated as last season. So, adding it all up, I think it's a very real possibility he leaves New England, not only to get away from Belichick's grumpy ass for a fresh start, but to have a more realistic chance of winning Super Bowl ring number 7, perhaps with the Titans or the Chargers or even, yes, the 49ers. Remember, Brady is a Bay Area guy who grew up watching the Niners at Candlestick Park, and his father and family remain in the area, and Coach Kyle Shanahan has lost trust in Jimmy Garoppolo. He of that sloppy fourth quarter in the Super Bowl as Patrick Mahomes was showing him how to win a title. It would be tricky, a Brady for Garoppolo maneuver, assuming that would happen. That would be a bizarre interlude in sports history, as if Belichick let Shanahan borrow Garoppolo until they wanted him back. But the 49ers do not want to waste a great defense while wondering if Jimmy G is still Jimmy INT. That's my line, trademark it. So I would make that deal. UFC boss Dana White, a Boston native, once Brady in Las Vegas and told him exactly that on an Instagram live stream. Brady's response provided no hints, but you can rule out the Raiders. John Gruden wants Marcus Mariota to back up Derek Carr. Here was Brady, and yes, I repeat, I think the Niners are a possibility.
Thank you, my brother. Now listen, the question everybody wants to know. Now, first of all, I'm a Boston guy through and through. I want you to go with the Patriots, but let me make my last pitch. Las Vegas would love to have you here at the Raiders. The stadium, the facility is incredible. The training facility that they have outside of Vegas is unbelievable. It's a 45-minute flight from L.A. Your kids and your family could live there. You could fly back and forth. We want you to come to the Raiders. That's the, you know, I've been pitching you now for a month. I love you too. Come on, brother, get to Vegas.
Thanks, man. I know it's been a lot of patience for me. And obviously being where I've been for 20 years, it's been an amazing experience. And I don't know what the future holds right now. I'm just trying to be patient through this process, my first time going through it. And in the meantime, I'm going to spend a lot of time with my family over the next 10, 12 days. And we got a little vacation plan, which I'm looking forward to.
Good for you, my brother. We can't wait to find out where you're going. And good luck with everything. And thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. We'll do this live one other time once we get this whole technical difficulty thing worked out.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
You too. See you.
By the way, presumptive number one pick Joe Burrow is pleading for us not to compare him to Brady despite the physical and mental similarities. Quote, please don't compare me to the best player of all time, Burrow told the NFL Network. Quote, let me do my own thing. Don't do that to me, please. Unquote. Burrow is right, you know, don't do that. And the NFL is committed to changing leadership again atop its troubled officiating department, ready to rub out Al Riveron after his disastrous tenure. Problem is, Roger Goodell will have to swallow hard in offering a fortune to Dean Blandino, who ticked off the league by leaving the top cop role in 2017 to join Fox Sports. At this point, the officiating situation is so messy, I'm not sure Blandino is making a good career decision by returning. That money will be great, but it's a thankless job. Wouldn't he rather be the critic than the target? And for those frothing at the mouth as sports gambling is increasingly legalized, here's a cautionary tale about one of America's 10 million problem gamblers. A 23-year-old sports bettor known as Parlay Pats was charged with violent threats directed at pro and college athletes and their friends and family. Among the social media targets of one Benjamin Tucker Pats, from his multiple anonymous accounts, included members of the New England Patriots, Toronto Blue Jays, and Tampa Bay Rays, a University of Arizona basketball player, and the girlfriend of an Atlanta Braves player. In March of last year, Pats sent four direct messages to a basketball player at Pepperdine, stating, quote, your throat will be severed open with a dull knife. Your entire family will be beheaded and burned alive. I will enter your home as you sleep and kill you. And, quote, watch your back. You're a dead man walking. All of that, unquote. The North American Foundation for Gambling Addiction Help reports that approximately 3% of the U.S. population has some type of gambling issue, and that 15% of Americans, many in their teens, gamble at least once a week. This guy was in his 20s. Don't sports leagues have a responsibility as they pursue legal gambling riches to post warnings that this is a disease? Come on, we all can answer that question. We've seen their response to coronavirus. That's a disease. Why would they care about gambling as a disease? Now it's time for The Buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, as we stumble into unprecedented territory with the coronavirus, do you find it as appalling as I do that LeBron James says he will not play without fans in the arena? Does he realize how selfish and ignorant that sounds? Does he actually believe he and these games he plays are bigger than a public health epidemic?
You know, Jay, there was a time where I was anti-LeBron on everything. I even called him the B word quite a bit, right? I think LeBron James might be the only one that has some sense in them right now. LeBron James might be the only one thinking rationally. He's actually not commenting and making outlandish statements like he did about the whole China thing. He's actually talking like a sensible person. He gets paid to play basketball, and he says he wants to do that for the fans. And that's who helps pay his salary, whether it's TV revenues or actual people going to the arenas, or people buying his shoes or indoor jerseys. Congratulations to LeBron for being sensible, Jay. And no, I don't think he thinks he's bigger than the epidemic. None of us are bigger than the epidemic. Us doing a podcast isn't bigger than the epidemic. Or talking about sports, or watching sports, or leaving our homes, or going to the market. It's just insanity, Jay.
And Chris, do you find it hypocritical that sports marches on as if nothing is wrong, while the rest of human life is paralyzed to varying degrees. How can Los Angeles health officials advise people to keep a six-foot distance from others, then say it's perfectly fine to sit a few inches away from a stranger at a Lakers game, and that it's perfectly fine to stage the L.A. Marathon?
These same Los Angeles health officials, Jay, that let homelessness be a rampage on this city. We walked through filth in downtown Los Angeles to get to Staples Center. Okay, I used to once take the train to work. You have taken the train. A train where people are slicing each other with knives because of an epidemic that nobody wants to pay attention to. But yet, coronavirus, we slap a label on it, and all of a sudden, the world has to come to a halt. I was at the market today, and you can't even buy. There's a limit at Smart and Final on how much water you could buy, and I've seen that on social media with other things. Listen, is it serious? Of course. But there's a lot of serious things that happen in this world, and sports still goes on, and we still live our lives, and we go to fancy restaurants and eat dinners while homeless people are outside, but that seems all right. On top of the insanity, Indian Wells, okay, one of the biggest tournaments, and you're a big tennis fan, they call it, what, the fifth major, is canceled now. They have canceled it because of one case in Riverside County. Now, Jay, other than to attend Indian Wells, possibly, I don't know if you've ever been to Riverside County or spent a lot of time out there, but I've spent time in Riverside. And again, one person having the coronavirus is not the worst thing that's happening in Riverside currently. That's all I'll say. An absolute insanity has taken a... I won't say the world, because the world has been hit a lot harder than the United States, but this is just unreal, Jay. And I'm sure other, you know, sporting events will follow suit, because now this is the trendy thing to do. This is the in thing to do, to call out the United States. And because we have a leader that a lot of people don't like, to say that we don't have a grasp on this. Unreal. That's all I'll say.
And Chris, after two defining games at the aforementioned Staples Center, handicap your favorites for the NBA championship and the MVP race.
I think the MVP race could potentially go to LeBron if he can keep this up. It is impressive what he's doing, especially at his age. Giannis is much younger, and again, the head-to-head, LeBron looked pretty good the other night. LeBron looked really good today. But guess what? You cannot believe that the Lakers can keep this up to win. Let's just say it was to go. They couldn't win. They were never going to sweep the Clippers. But in a seven-game matchup, I don't think they can keep up this intensity. Kawhi seemed a little off his mark, and you have to believe that, you know, the Clippers are literally barnyard dogs, okay? And you have to think, after just a few games, Patrick Beverley and their Morris, of the Morris twins, those guys are chirping a lot, and they're getting in their face, and I don't think the Lakers can keep up this. I just don't. So I think in a head-to-head in the Western Conference Finals, I still believe the Clippers would go to the finals, and they'd win the finals.
And with Tom Brady mania all ramped up, where is he going? Does he stay in New England? Does he go home to San Francisco? Make the call.
Jay, I think when it's all said and done, he stays in New England. But again, who knows if we play NFL football? Because the coronavirus could bring it all come crashing down, Jay.
Thanks, Chris. Which brings us to quickies, which are just that quick. With the Masters fast approaching, the hatred for Patrick Reed is off the charts. Targeted with a history of cheating accusations, including his rules infraction in December, Reed was toasted most recently by golf broadcaster David Faraday, who said, quote, "I'm not even sure that he's polarizing. I'm not sure there's too many people on the other side. You know what I mean? I mean, he said there is no God. It was the first thing he said after he'd won last month. There is no God, you know? That's proof of it right there. I mean, he is amazing. He's Captain Oblivious, just can let everything run off his back. I've never seen anything like it." Unquote David Faraday. And David Faraday usually doesn't rip these guys, okay? But I have news for Faraday and the Reed haters. With Tiger Woods dealing with more back pain and Brooks Koepka shooting an 81 last weekend after a knee procedure, guess who might win his second Masters? Patrick Reed, as in read my lips. All we ever do is talk about cheating. Now you have Reed. Riddle me this. Why do dirtball college basketball programs, including tournament favorite Kansas and several others that will play in March Madness, get off the hook Patrick Reed might be the devil, but Bill Self isn't the devil. Naturally, Kansas is disputing all NCAA allegations, rallying those rock chalk Jayhawkers against the evil NCAA, never mind the Adidas payoffs to players and parents. And the Chuck Wepner of Sports Networks, ESPN, is bloodied and bruised again, but will try once more to improve its non-existent Monday Night Football broadcast booth presence. Wanting desperately to impress the NFL enough to land a spot in the Super Bowl TV rotation, ESPN / ABC reportedly is ready to throw $20 million a year at Peyton Manning and $10 million a year at Al Michaels. All of which is complete lunacy. As I said when CBS re-signed Tony Romo for $170 million over 10 years, people do not watch games because a particular broadcaster is in the booth. They watch games because they have money on that game or their favorite team is playing in that game. And if it's Tony Romo, they go, oh, it's Tony Romo. Or if it's Peyton Manning in the future, oh, it's Peyton Manning. But then TV sports bosses are not the smartest people on earth. This is all about dick swinging, not deep wisdom. The Caveman Award goes to New York Islanders boss Lou Lamoriello. After his defenseman Johnny Boychuk needed 90 stitches, 90, to repair his eyelid after he was cut in the face by an opponent's skate, Lou said, quote, he'll be fine. Or actually, here's how he said it, quote, he'll be fine. It's just a matter of the eye opening up, end quote, Lou Lamoriello. And you think your boss is an a-hole? The founder of Barstool Sports, the scuzz of all scuzz, got his start in the industry years ago by publishing a naked photo of Tom Brady's then 3-year-old son, which earned this scuzzbag a visit from the Massachusetts State Police for child pornography. When I related the story 3 years ago, I was bombarded with social media abuse by the scuzzy sheep who work for this guy and listen to his radio shows and podcasts. This abuse continued until a tech friend of mine disinfected my Twitter account and other accounts by eliminating the name Henry Lockwood. Whoever Henry Lockwood is, his name was connected to countless followers and tweets. It would spread like a virus. But we got Henry Lockwood out of there, and we got rid of the Henry Lockwood virus. We found a vaccine for Henry Lockwood. So I would be happy to serve as a witness for actor Michael Rapaport, who, after his brief career at Barstool Sports, was smeared by that scuzz founder and his scuzzy minions as a racist, a domestic abuser, and a D-list actor with an STD, and Rapaport is suing the site for $16 million. Problem is, the scuzz founder no longer can do as he pleases. That was his defense. Rapaport could sue us, and I'm still going to do what I want. Well, now this scuzzbag answers to a partner called Penn National Gaming that bought a huge part of his business and no way wants any part of the scuzz in the future. And Penn National has said that publicly. So, scuzzbag, why don't you just go home? And I'm not sure why Princeton University, an Ivy League pillar, selected Marshawn Lynch to be the senior class day speaker in June. Not that Lynch hasn't had a robust NFL career and hasn't done admirable philanthropic work, but why would the school select a public speaker who famously doesn't like to publicly speak?
And now a final Mariotti commentary, too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too chill for political activism. Take it away, Jay.
Last I looked, Spike Lee doesn't own and operate Madison Square Garden. He has a right to be angry as a Knicks superfan who is thoroughly disgusted, as we all are, with the franchise's futile existence under one of the worst owners in sports, James Dolan. But if Dolan wants Lee to enter the garden through a dedicated VIP entrance and not through a 33rd Street employee and media entrance that Lee has been using for years, it is Dolan's right as the owner of the garden to make that request, as he did when he politely asked Lee at halftime of a game. For Lee to then spend the next morning hijacking an ESPN program, First Take, and claim that Dolan is harassing him, then challenging security to arrest him, quote, like my brother Charles Oakley, unquote, that's a suggestion that Dolan is racist. Well, all of the smacks of a publicity stunt by Lee.
So at halftime, Dolan comes over to me and says, we need to talk. I said, talk about what? We need to talk. I said, Mr. Dolan, I don't want to talk about nothing. I've been coming through this entrance for 28 years. Plus, Wednesday, historic event, the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. They had a Broadway. They took The Killer Mockingbird and had a performance for 18,000 New York City public kids. Amazing event. Where did I go in? The employee entrance. That was Wednesday. So if they want to change this whole new policy they talk about, and at first they never said when the thing changed. So why not call me? When my deposit is due for this astronomical price for Knicks tickets and I'm one day late, my phone is ringing off the hook. So it's not, if they change the thing, let me know.
I can't say I feel sorry for the award-winning director and his first world problem. There are ways to rally a fan base against a bad owner, which has happened frequently amid Dolan's history of public wars, but complaining about having to enter through a VIP entrance is not one of them. When Dolan had Oakley, the former Knick, removed after Oakley's criticism of the owner, that was a terrible look for Dolan. But refusing to follow city code as if he owns the place was not a good look for Spike. So the next time Lee returns to the Garden, which he says will be next season, he should use that VIP entrance and just feel thankful that he's healthy and wealthy in this haywire world of ours. It's called perspective, Spike. That's our show for our producer and editor, Chris. I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life.